from a technical point of view, it's very easy. I've been involved in stopping hyperinflations in the 1990s, and you can do this within 30 days. If you don't stop the hyperinflation, you can't have economic stability, you can't have political stability, you can't have any semblance of normalcy. So you have to obviously have a politician with the will to do it.
Well, what's the reason why the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe should share responsibility for the country's rate of hyperinflation?
Well, ultimately, the epicenter of the problem is the Reserve Bank, because they're the ones that are responsible for creating currency and emitting money in the economy. And they've been, of course, doing that at a high rate. And Zimbabwe, that's the only kind of monetary system they've had that's created hyperinflation. In fact, hyperinflation's 50% inflation rate per month or greater. That's the definition of it. And this is the first hyperinflation in the 21st century.
Well, you argue that the Reserve Bank is used to print money at the government's whim and provide jobs for government supporters. Is this the sole reason for the inflation, or do fluctuation in land values caused by the economic displacement of landowners play a big part in the economic shift?
It's at the central bank. The Reserve Bank is the reason of hyperinflation. And the interesting thing, of course, about Zimbabwe is the last big hyperinflation we had in the last century was Yugoslavia under Slobodan Milosevic. The rate of inflation in Yugoslavia was much, much higher than Zimbabwe. It peaked out actually in 1994, and it took many years after that before Milosevic was dethroned, shall we say. It's a terrible thing for the people that are involved, because the economy completely collapses and they're just robbed of all wealth and means to sustain themselves.
Well, is the idea of doing away with a reserve bank in a country something very radical, akin to the U.S. abandoning the gold standard or proposals to abolish personal income tax in the United States?
Well, in fact, it really isn't. Most of the hyperinflations that we've seen in the recent past have been done away with by getting rid of the central bank. For example, in 1999, I advised the president of Montenegro, if they wanted to escape the hyperinflation of the Yugoslav dinar, they should make it illegal and replace it with the German Deutschmark, which they did in December of 1999, and the inflation was stopped almost immediately. So they, in effect, did away with the central bank that was in Belgrade by doing that. And you've had many other countries, for example, Bulgaria in 1997, they had hyperinflation also. And what they did is introduce what's called a currency board system, in which the domestic currency trades at a fixed exchange rate with a foreign anchor currency and is backed 100% with foreign reserves. And within 30 days, Bulgaria was stabilized and started growing, been growing ever since.
Well, in some of the countries that you've been involved with over the years, how have you fared with country reforms in situations similar to what you cite in Zimbabwe, where the government prints money arbitrarily to provide jobs for government supporters, causing a hyperinflationary trend?
Ultimately, if you get into hyperinflation, you know that its life is limited, because people simply won't support a government in which hyperinflation is raging away. So if that's the condition that exists, the public at large is very much tuned in to the idea that we have to get out of this death spiral we're in, and they're very willing to listen to recommendations and adopt them. And most of the cases I've been involved in, they have adopted them very quickly, and you can solve the problem quickly.
How do you think the hyperinflationary tensions play out between economic tensions in Zimbabwe and political tensions? By lowering the hyperinflation, would it make it more conducive for political changes to be accomplished in the country?
Well, until the hyperinflation is eradicated, no one of any political persuasion will be able to do anything, really, whether it's a current government or a prospective government or you name it. The bottom line is that the public will not support a government that continues to hyperinflate the currency.
And is there a possibility that the government is using the fact that the hyperinflation exists to maintain their own control over the country politically?
it's not clear when you look at it exactly what is going on. There's a lot of gross incompetence, so it's not clear to me at all. My own judgment is that the situation is rather out of control.
I see. And have you made any recommendations for shifting banks in other African countries? Can you draw on any other experience where an African country has changed its financial structure of its reserve bank?
I can't, simply because the only other hyperinflation they've ever had in the history of Africa is Zambia, and I wasn't involved in Zambia. So there have been, in fact, very few hyperinflations because the main monetary system there was historically the currency board system, which is one of the systems that I recommended in this Zimbabwe report, and which Zimbabwe actually had from 1940 to 1956, and the thing worked beautifully. So Africa was just covered with currency boards, and most of them, by the way, were backed one way or another by the gold standard. So you had generally fairly stable money historically in Africa, and even Africa didn't realize in the 1990s as a former Soviet Union countries, or Latin America for that matter, hyperinflations in the 1990s or 1980s, for example. They've kind of escaped that. They've had some high inflations, very high inflations, but only one hyperinflation. And remember, that's 50% rate of increase in prices per month.
What are the chances, perhaps, that Zimbabwe will do away with its reserve bank system?
Well, I think the chances are very good because we know that the hyperinflation has to run its course and come to an end. And you have in southern Africa already systems very similar to the currency board system that I mentioned, for example, in Botswana or Swaziland. That's exactly the system they have, with the South African rand being the anchor currency, and the local currency is produced in a currency board basis. It exchanges on a fixed rate with the South African rand, and the South African rand is legal tender in these countries. So it seems to me that the monetary union that exists in South Africa should just be expanded into Zimbabwe. I recommended this over a year ago, that President Mbeki should be really pursuing this and pushing it just to stabilize the situation in Zimbabwe, because remember, ultimately, this is a humanitarian problem. I mean, more people are dying in Zimbabwe due to the poverty imposed by hyperinflation than are dying in Darfur, Iraq, Afghanistan. No one sees it. They just slowly die in Zimbabwe. The average life expectancy has gone down from almost 60 years of age to something under 40 years of age.
Well, South Africa is said to be on a similar course in certain aspects of the land reform problems that Zimbabwe faces. Do you think that President Mbeki's decisions regarding the financial structure and the recommendations he might make to Zimbabwe reflect his own insecurities in his own country on the economics and potential problems with land reform in his own country?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't spoken to President Mbeki about this. I will say that the inflation problems really started in Zimbabwe after 1998, when the whole land reform program was announced. Things went from bad to worse the minute that was announced. That was the start of the death spiral. So that all these land reform programs are nothing but trouble because private property rights are not respected in any way. Very high inflation started really accelerating after 1998 when the land reform was announced. But remember, to get to the hyperinflation level, you have to have not 50% per year inflation. We're talking about 50% per month inflation. And that started in March of 2007 in Zimbabwe. But before that, it had been ramping up, and it started ramping up in 1998. And it gets to very high levels, well into the double and triple digit levels and on an annual basis. And then it flipped into the double digit basis for the monthly reading in March of 2007.